in Food Time is on the air. Chicago Radio's award-winning All Things Edible program. Heard every Sunday at this time. And today, we've got White Sox Twins baseball coming up in a few minutes. A little abbreviated, kind of a bite-sized version of our Food Time show today. With Jamie Previance, who is Master Grill Master, cookbook author with Weber Grills. Jamie, it must be that season again. Welcome back, my friend.
Hooray. I love this time of year. Thank you, Dean. Good to be with you.
I got the grill out this week. I did some delicious pork tenderloin out on the grill. There is just nothing like it. I wish I could grill 365 days a year. I know some people do. I'm too much of a wimp when it gets to be 10 below zero.
I think that's the main reason why I live actually out in California.
Yeah.
It's a major perk that I grill just about 365 days a year.
Yeah, well, we're going to try to answer as many questions as we possibly can before 12:30. We're going to also give away a grill today. We've got Weber folks are nice enough to give us one of your new Color Master Touch grills, and we'll give you the word on when to call in to win that. But also, we wanted to tell you about the new cookbook that Jamie has put out for Weber called Weber's Ultimate Grilling, a step-by-step guide to barbecue genius. What is included in this one, Jamie?
So much. We probably don't have time to cover it all, but the main focus of this book is actually on grilling techniques. So there are obviously a bunch of recipes in the book, more than 125. But in order to qualify to be in the book, the recipe had to provide and demonstrate a really worthy technique, something that would elevate the results of that recipe, but also apply perhaps to other recipes as well.
What would be a good
example
of that?
It's a technique book.
What would be an example of that?
Well, I'm doing today, for instance, a porterhouse steak with what's called a cutting board sauce. Are you familiar with this idea?
I'm not, no.
Which is a technique. It's so fun and cool and really delicious in the end. So you think of making a sauce in a skillet or a saucepan. In this case, you actually make it on a cutting board.
Huh.
Well, not really a sauce, but it flavors the steak magnificently. What I do is I chop up shallots and herbs like basil, rosemary, with some capers, a little bit of olive oil, a little bit of vinegar. So it's sort of a wet paste that you spread out on the board. When the steak is fully cooked, it comes off the grill and onto the board. You turn the steak over a couple times and just coat the surface. Oh, and there's some lemon zest in there. That's actually what is the most delicious,
wow.
I think.
Ooh, that sounds good.
So it makes the steak really still the star of the whole thing, but accents it in a way that is just delicious. So that is a technique of sorts that you can apply to a steak. You could use it for chicken breasts or pork chops or whatever else you like. So that's one example.
And doing it on the cutting board, I suppose, so you don't burn up some of those wonderful flavors that you're kind of bathing your cooked meat in.
Yeah, no chance of burning and less dishes. You don't have to clean a pot.
Yeah, nothing wrong with that. Yeah,
right.
Nothing wrong with that. A question that's come in on our text line, 312-981-7200. If you want to call in or text in, 312-981-7200. It says, I bought ground sirloin to make burgers this weekend. I'm told ground sirloin is too dry for the grill. Is that true? And do you have any suggestions if it is? It's probably not ideal, right, ground sirloin, because you want a little bit of fat in there to keep it moist. But it's not the end of the world if you have ground sirloin to make burgers.
No, not necessarily. It depends on the percentage of fat in there. And you can certainly get sirloin with a good 20% fat. It really depends upon the butcher and the particular animal that he's working with. If it happens to be particularly lean, I suppose you could buy some beef fat. You know what I often do is just buy pork sausage, because that is almost always fatty,
right?
And it's flavorful. It's got some seasonings in it, and it just gives you that buffer of fattiness, juiciness, and a little extra flavor. So
you know what,
buy a little sausage meat.
Yeah, that's a great idea. You know what else I've done when I've had something like that? I finely dice up some onions and green peppers. I mean, like really small. And I add that to the mixture, and it adds quite a bit of moisture to the meat itself.
Right, right. Any vegetable like that is mostly moisture. There's a lot of water in there. And if you want something more flavorful than water, think about things like Worcestershire sauce, maybe a little soy sauce, maybe a little bit of aged balsamic, even butter. You can put a cube of cold butter in there.
Yeah.
But then the real key to all of this is just don't overcook the burger. That's what's going to make it dry. So be careful about that. So now we're talking about techniques again.
Right.
You know, really understanding how long it takes, you know, how often you flip it. And those are really what are going to make the biggest difference in the flavor of the burger.
Yeah, let's talk about some of these basics then. For a burger or a cheeseburger, what is a proper technique?
It's relatively simple with burgers. It's basically hot grill, a burger patty that is probably 3/4 inch thick, and then putting it on the grill and leaving it alone for at least 3 minutes. Because to me, one of the big draws of a burger is that nice brown crust on the outside.
Sure.
And if you try to turn the burger too early, you won't develop enough of a crust. You'll also probably tear the burger, and then it might begin to fall apart, and all sorts of bad things follow from that. So just leaving it alone on the first side for 3 or 4 minutes, you should really only have to turn it once. And then, you know, getting off the grill before it's overcooked. And there's no shame here in using a thermometer. An instant read thermometer is fine to use, or just follow the recipe. That's why I write the books. I test these things multiple times.
Yeah.
And a burger should really take about 8 minutes, 3/4 inch at about 400 degrees. You're golden every single time that way.
What are
other techniques.
If you're using a meat thermometer, what should the temperature be, 160?
Well, that would be perfectly safe. And so the USDA would say yes. Most chefs would say baloney. You know, that's way too cooked. So, do what you like. It really depends upon how trusting you are about your source of meat. If you can go to a butcher and have him or her grind it for you, then you can cook it just like a steak. But if it's been in a package for a number of days and maybe it's starting to turn brown, then yeah, I'd probably cook it all the way through just to be careful.
Okay, all right. Some people say you do a thumbprint in a burger, and that helps to determine its doneness, but also so it doesn't get sort of that hump in it. Do you go by that?
Right. Yeah, I occasionally do that, particularly if it's lean meat that tends to shrink up and create what I sometimes call the meatball effect. And that's no good, because when you bite into a burger, you want to bite into meat and bun. And if you've got a meatball, you end up biting into bun primarily for the first. So anyway, the little divot, either with the thumb or the back of a spoon perhaps, you know, maybe half an inch deep, little well there in the center of each patty, will compensate for that effect. So the burger will still shrink from the outside and it'll puff up a little bit, but now it just comes up to perfectly level. And so that's nice, because it gives you a good-looking burger, easy to pile your toppings on, and no meatballs.
630 area code, suggestions for cooking hot dogs and veggie dogs on the grill. I guess that gets to technique also, because sometimes you put those on there and they curl up, and you can't really get them to a proper appearance, at least, anyway.
Sure. You know, often with hot dogs, whether they're beef dogs or veggie dogs, I actually cut slashes in them. That will prevent curling, and it actually creates a little bit more surface area. So particularly if you're working over charcoal, that smokiness that's inside the grill just has a better chance of seeping inside the hot dog, and I think that improves the flavor, and it kind of improves the look as well. It just has it shows a little extra care, let's put it that way, that you've gone to that extent to carve your hot dog or butcher it a little bit before serving it.
Yeah, they're just kind of slashes from one end to the other, and I think it's attractive that way. Plus, it gives you a little more the, you know, crispy edges, which are always delightful.
That's the gold right there, those crispy edges. Yeah. I agree.
Somebody's asking, what's your opinion on these non-stick grill mats that seem so popular right now?
I'm not a big fan, I got to be honest. I understand the rationale. I mean, everybody wants things to come off easily and cleanly. Having just written a book about techniques that show you how to get things cleanly off the grill, you know, you're not going to be surprised that I'm going to suggest that instead. The problem with the mat is that it really is preventing the flavor of the grill to get into the food, right? All that wonderful charcoal flavor, or even the sear that you're getting on the bars of a gas grill, you've now put a barrier in between those. So right. I think you're robbing yourself of good flavor. And pride. I'm going to go out and say, you know, you got to, if you're going to grill, you got to grill. So get rid of the mat.
What's the way to make things nonstick without a nonstick grill on the mat?
Well, it's to start with a really clean grate. So nothing, if it's got like teriyaki chicken from last Tuesday on there, you know, stuff's going to stick to that. So get rid of that initially. Then make sure that the food is well oiled before it goes on there.
Food oiled, not the grill, because some people like to put a layer of oil on the grill. I don't do that because it just seems like it all burns off before I can even get to it.
You're right. It does burn off, and it creates some kind of nasty aroma sometimes because the oil has a smoking point where it turns sort of bitter.
Yeah.
And particularly if it's a nice olive oil or something, you lose all the nuance of the oil, and you get a lot of smoke, and you waste a lot of oil. You might get flare-ups. So many reasons why you want to oil the food itself. And you put that down on a hot, clean grate. And again, it comes back to this idea of having a little patience for that crust to develop. Just as a hamburger will always stick initially, so will a chicken breast, you know, so will a salmon filet, so will, you know, a round of eggplant. So you've got to wait until that charring develops on one side, and that actually creates a natural release, nonstick. That's how you do it.
And the here's the other thing about the grill mat or some of these pans that people buy to cook things on the grill, or as I like to call them, one more thing that I don't really want to have to clean later on. Mostly you don't need them. Mostly you don't need that stuff.
Yeah, you can do almost anything in the supermarket right down on the bars. The one time that I do use the pans, there's a grill pan with holes in it that I like for really small things that might otherwise fall through the grate.
Yeah.
So a bunch of little cherry tomatoes or some chopped up mushrooms, maybe tiny shrimp. Those things you can spread out on a hot pan, but hopefully one that has some holes in it so heat and smoke can get in there and give it that outdoor flavor.
I buy these aluminum, it's an aluminum screen, so it's got holes in it. It works just like that pan that you're talking about. When you're done, it's less than a dollar to buy one of these screens. You toss it, it's done, and you're not spending a half an hour scrubbing in between all the little open particles on these things. Let me take a quick break. We'll come right back with Jamie Previance from Weber in his new cookbook, Weber's Ultimate Grilling, a Step-by-Step Guide to Barbecue Genius. We're also going to give away a special Weber grill that they have made available for our Food Time listeners, a new Color Master Touch grill. Jamie, we're going to give that to caller 7 right now on our phone line, 312-981-7200. Caller 7 wins it at 312-981-7200 WGN.